Yes, absolutely, please. Questions, if we go through that.
Thank you, Senator. On the proposal that we'll get from Pierce Atwood tomorrow, they will suggest that in the consolidated permitting process, the new LURC, whatever that is, won't have zoning authority either over such sites. Was that discussed with Commissioner Beardsley?
Commissioner Beardsley, to my knowledge, has not even seen the Pierce Atwood proposal. I don't know if they've shared that with him or not. I saw the Pierce Atwood proposal last night at 5:45 p.m. My comments are not based on the Pierce Atwood proposal. My comments are based on our overarching concerns as we proceed with mining. To the extent, Representative DeShane, that we've gone through some of those decisions already in the legislature in regards to LURC, whether it's identifying the appropriate expedited areas for wind power, whether it's identifying the appropriate already zoned areas for the maple sugar industry, which this legislature has just done. Mm-hmm. The theory being there, you do that because the resources are there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you identify the areas where the resources are there, you identify the zones ahead of time. So I've not had that opportunity.
Okay. My concern, obviously, is there's these parallel tracks going on, and I wanted to see if you decided we're talking to each other. Thanks.
We're aware that we need to make sure that whatever has been debated and discussed within the LURC reform changes, we'll probably need to make sure that those are incorporated in this if they are appropriate.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Parker.
A couple small questions, I guess. First of all, I find this somewhat exciting because back in 1970, when I first went to work, this Oliver question.
This is an open work session.
The firm I work for had an individual who was going around the state of Maine specifically looking for mineral deposits, and he found three major mineral deposits, and they're still sitting untapped. Okay, so perhaps now we're going to actually start to use some of our natural resources to the benefit of the state. So I'm anxious to see this happen. When I read the earlier rules that were emailed off to us, I saw that there was sort of an interchanging between LURC and DEP. And so that sort of raises my next question. Is this going to be an application process through DEP, BEP, or joint with LURC and one of these two? What do you envision?
I envision a consolidated process, so there would be one application and one permitting process authority, which would be the Department of Environmental Protection. That said, I have a hunch that this is clearly the type of project that would be appropriate in front of the Board of Environmental Protection, because it would be a project of statewide significance within the state, and that's one of the types of projects that go in front of the Board of Environmental Protection. We do not envision actually having an additional LURC function for the overview of the mining activities themselves, because I think that if you put applicants in that type of juxtaposition between 2.5 agencies, it makes it very difficult for them. So consolidate it within the Department of Environmental Protection. Any application permitting process decision would probably have the public hearings held before the Board of Environmental Protection.
Just a follow-up. And I know you have nothing before you now. You don't know if an application is coming in, but is this something that, in your own mind, could be accomplished in 1 year or 10 years? In other words, is this how quickly might something actually occur?
Well, we would first need to, if in fact you change the law and require us to update our rules, that is going to take some time. So that will probably be at least a year, if not 2 year process to update our rules. I'm assuming that a potential applicant would want to wait until those rules are updated rather than to proceed under the current Chapter 200 rules. So I think that they would be looking at probably 2 years, which might actually be beneficial for them to the extent that if they needed to do additional environmental assessment work, monitoring, data gathering, they would have that window of opportunity as well. But I would think that the rulemaking process alone, I'm not going to be able to complete probably before 18 months at the earliest.
Just a reminder to the committee and Representative Parker, those are good questions. We have the public hearing tomorrow, so that will be something kind of question we want to keep on the public record. Today is kind of give you the information if you ask the commissioner or others to say for tomorrow's hearing instead of work session, could you be prepared? That would be helpful. But that was a good question. I don't want to cut you short.
Could you provide that information tomorrow's hearing?
Could you just remember to ask me the question tomorrow? Okay, thank you.
Because the Senate is going back in, so everybody knows at 4, and I know some of you have other things to do. Yeah, we're going back in. You guys took so long to do it, so now we have to go back in at 4. And the on-and-on society lives well in the Senate. I have Senator Sherman, Senator Goodall, and Representative Ayotte.
Sort of an admonition in there, I believe, if I listen to that. Maybe a question for tomorrow. I understand, I'm looking at your sheet, the two-page sheet here, in the chapter 200. On the page 3, the third bullet down bothers me, the way it's worded, because we had some other bills in legislature about the meaning of rules and regs and how you interpret those. I wonder maybe tomorrow you could do that. Says there are a number of areas in the rules which do not delineate requirements, mm-hmm. which sounds straightforward, but seem to allow for ample mm-hmm. discretion for additional requirements. Mm-hmm. Even though they don't delineate them, we can do it beyond, and there's the key thing to me, some of the statutory requirements.
Yes, sir, and that's why we believe that the Chapter 200 needs to be updated and modernized, because when you do look at some of those provisions that were adopted in 1991, I think there are a number of question marks that any applicant would have as to what exactly is required under this rule. So that's why in that summary of the current Chapter 200, I list that there, because I do believe that that's one of the areas that the department would be looking at to update, to modernize, and to make clearer for applicants.
Yeah, you keep in mind that page there, those are what's in present statute or present rules that we may, in fact, in some way modify as we go through this. These are the things that the commissioner highlighted. There may be others that others will highlight that are going through this. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Well, there's a bill we've been arguing over in the Senate caucus about writing rules, and some argued the other day you do the statute okay and the courts look at it, and then the rules under those are something else, and then someone else is arguing just the opposite. That would sound kind of strange to me. And so we have, if that passes, I would think it'd have an impact on your work. Get the statute clear, then write the rules versus write the rules and go back and justify it on the statute.
Absolutely, and I would agree. And that's one of one of our top priorities with this administration is to make sure that our rules mirror what the statutory or federal requirements are for us. And if you remember last year when I briefed the committee, one of the first things that we did is actually undertake a rule audit of all of our over 200 rules at DEP. To make sure, are they necessary? Are they in conformance with state law? Are they in conformance with federal law? And if they're not, then we are going to be proceeding to amend those laws, those rules, excuse me, accordingly. So I agree with
thank
that.
You.
All the more reason that you need to vote with Senator Goodall and I on the deference bill. Senator Goodall.
I didn't mention deference.
But just in case, I just wanted
thank
to
you. I would appreciate
straight.
That.
Commissioner, it's good to see you. What is the risk if we do not take action and someone seeks a permit under the current structure?
I think that the risk is simply, they're twofold. One, you have an application fee right now of only $20,000 for a metal mining facility in Maine. So I would say, at least from my administrative hat on, one of the risks is I'm not sure that would actually provide you with adequate staffing for that application process. The other risk is simply that you have a rule out there that is outdated now. If, in fact, you pass some changes to LURC in regards to the legislation that's proposed coming out of another committee, then you'll have a rule that doesn't even really comport with how you may be changing LURC and DEP permitting processes. So those are some of the risks that you would be running.
And just tomorrow, in your testimony, if you could just touch on, I have to applaud you. You answered the question very well, in my opinion, about projects of statewide significance, and this would fall under that category. But I'm also concerned that potentially, if we don't proceed cautiously, we could in essence, capture smaller projects that shouldn't be projects of statewide significance in the mining rules. And so maybe tomorrow, if you could articulate what the differences would be in terms of when one would trigger and when one would not. Because in the future,
I think we could probably clarify that also in regards to whether or not it's metallic mining, whether it's quarries, gravel pits, for example, which we already do to some extent. But I think actually that type of delineation we could actually make fairly clear.
We often, Mr. Johnson is smiling in the back, because we often hold up our aggregate statutes as statutes that we work well together and we have support and consensus driven, and I don't want to jeopardize those in any way. Obviously, a lot of people probably think of those as mining operations, but in essence, they're gravel operations. In addition to that, either today or tomorrow, if you could just brief us on what your concerns would be in terms of long-term operational costs for the department and oversight of what would be a very large facility, so we don't fall into any financial traps in the future. Because obviously we're getting more and more dependent upon fees in many departments, and I don't want to have anything jeopardized in the future.
I will attempt to address that tomorrow, and one of the ways will be probably some proposed amendments to the language that will be presented to you by Pierce Atwood.
Representative Hyatt. Commissioner, I know that mining has been occurring in Maine for hundreds of years, probably, but this interest in modernizing Chapter 200 in reference to the mining rules, has that been precipitated because of the interest in Ball Mountain?
Actually, that's what the focus of much of your discussion will be, but it is not the first discussion that I had with Commissioner Beardsley, because there are other mineral deposits within the state that are also of interest to other potential applicants as well. So actually, it was not Bald Mountain that precipitated our first discussions, but it was some of the other deposits that are here in Maine.
Just one more. You can answer this tomorrow. Do you consider Maine rich in natural resources?
I do, but I do not. I don't know whether others would disagree with me.
Just before I go to Representative Duchesne, those that are listening on the web, hello, Jeff Reardon. Have asked where the legislation might be. We can't post it on the legislative site because we don't have the ability to post the amendment yet. However, Katie will be sending it out on our general email list. And if you don't have it aren't on our general email list, if you just give a call into the committee room, and Katie will send you an email. So anybody that's out there that does not have a copy of the amendment would like it. We have it, and we'll get it to you. So I think Representative Duchesne.
Thank you, Senator. When I read the rules, I said, wow, this is a reaction to something. And I was pondering whether it was Callahan Mine or other things, and I realized John Martin's probably the only one with institutional memory on this, unless there's somebody at the department that does. And you too?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. Bring your institutional memory with you tomorrow.
Let me address that briefly, because I know there are a lot of other folks that would like to speak, and you're going back in, and we'll have time to do. There was a lot of interest in metal mining, and every time I refer to mining today, let's just jump to metal so I don't have to keep saying it, in mining, and especially in the late 1980s. At that time, there were some sites that had been found in Maine, Ball Mountain, it was known. There was also a site over in Warren, Maine, and then there was a site in Alder Stream. By full disclosure, I represented a company called BHP Utah Mining in a short period of time from about 1988-ish to 1990, give or take some time on either side. And BHP Utah Mining was interested in the Alder Stream site. There was a company that was interested in the Warren site and then also the Ball Mountain site. Because of that, there were four companies in Maine that were potentially interested. It spurred a lot of attention, and that is why you saw an effort from the legislature. I believe there was a governor's task force perhaps at that time as well, and others, to create these joint rules that we have now between DEP and LURC. And there's was also, at that time, was when the mining excise tax law was passed into law as well, because there was a lot of interest. A couple of the companies, one of the companies, BHP Utah Mining, went through and actually received a site location permit from DEP to undertake its advanced exploration permit, which is the middle step in mining, if you will, in Maine. Over in Alder Stream, they received the permit, but they never pursued any of the activity. And that would have been for an 800-foot decline, if you will, or tunnel into the ground, with about a 3,000-foot, if I remember correctly, from our staff, a 3,000-foot ramp to get down to that decline. And they received the permit, never pursued it. So by this time, obviously, it's void. And then over the years, we've had some exploration in Maine that did not require permits from us. Most recently is 2008. And then we also had back in 1997 through 99 by our staff interest in pursuing the Bald Mountain site. So they started the application process, were probably about three quarters of the way through it, and decided not to finish that process. Sometimes, I think in the past, it's been very cyclical, based on the pricing of commodities and whether or not it would be a financially viable business model to go forward. So that's, I think, to some extent, what precipitated all of the work that you see that's actually from 1991. It's been fairly quiet since then, up until the past few years, where we had the gold exploration in 2008. And now, most recently, a look at how to best modernize these rules. You'll see, I think I just went through probably the first three bullets of our rule, Chapter 200, for you, as to give you just a brief overview of the history of how we got here. The rule did attempt, or does attempt, to consolidate the permit requirements that we have from a number of our environmental programs at the department, whether it's site location, stormwater, groundwater, solid waste, septage. It tried to very much consolidate those while at the same time continue to use the same framework of the rule, the current program. So that's why there are places in the rule that says you'll get these together, but maybe we'll give you a variance, and maybe we won't. So that's why I think in many places the rule actually does need to be thoroughly modernized. There are three levels of mining activity that our rule and our law recognizes. The first is the exploration. The second is advanced exploration, which may be a smaller decline or tunnel into the ground to basically try to prove up the size of the particular deposit. And then there's the full-blown mining activity as well. And obviously, the permits that you need from the department escalate depending on the level of activity that you're going to have on the face of the earth. We do require a pre-application phase in Chapter 200, as well as an application phase. And the pre-application phase includes a number of opportunities for public hearing and public participation. It requires what's called a baseline monitoring report, as well as an environmental impact report. The two reports will help inform the department, as well as the public processes that are part of our current Chapter 200. You'll also see in our Chapter 200, it mirrored some of our older solid waste laws, so there are intervener grants that are provided to either a town, a city, or the county if it's in the unorganized territory. So an applicant would have to pay those grants to help the town, the city, or the county to participate within the process. So you'll see that in our Chapter 200 as well. We've talked in discussion and answer to the question from Senator Sherman in regards to there are parts of these rules that aren't clear as to what is required, that they do not delineate the requirements, but seem to say we're going to require these things, but maybe more. So there are areas that we will need to clarify in regards to those. The other thing I want to make clear to you is the three grades of mine waste, and I think that will be important for you as you start these deliberations and discussions, because you'll hear us all refer to those. We have a three-tiered mine waste classification system here in the state, and they're designated as A, B, or C, with A posing the highest risk and obviously C posing the least. And a mine waste is classified as a group A if it is an acid producer. And again, that's something that will probably you'll hear much of, especially if you are under discussions in regards to the Bald Mountain type of project. We can give you in more detail as to how you determine whether and what your waste is, but it is an analytical process that's required of all applicants to go through to determine what actually comes out so that you know the type of mine waste, and the rule is very specific as to what you are required to do based on what classification of your mine waste you are at. Again, if you're a group A waste, you have the highest requirements, the most rigorous requirements, because it is considered the waste that poses the highest risk to us. You'll also see that the closure and post-closure requirements change depending on that mine waste to make sure that the waste that poses the highest risk has the strictest and strongest closure requirements. So you'll see that a 30-year post-closure period is required for a Group A or a Group B waste, whereas for a Group C, the least of the risks is a 5-year requirement, and you'll see that throughout these rules as well. So with that, I just want to say again that we have had metallic mines in Maine, and the department right now has had experience with two. We have the Callahan Mine in Brooksville, which is a Superfund site, and so our remediation division works with that particular. And then there was also the Care American site in Blue Hill, which was an uncontrolled site, and I believe that site has been remediated. Both of those started in the late 1960s and were finished by the early 1970s. I believe both started and finished before even the establishment of DEP. So I just share with you as to why when I reference expertise in our department, you'll hear it referenced two ways, because we have expertise at the beginning of a mine, and we have those that have expertise as to the closure and the remediation of these mine sites. That, as best I can provide you, is an overview of the rule and our statutory, or at least our rulemaking scheme for everybody. And I think that probably the best way to further get into it is to hear from some other folks. And then also, once you've had an opportunity to review the proponent's proposal, I think that there will be more areas that we can further discuss.
Yeah. Questions? Remember, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we have an abundance of material at the department. I don't know what would be helpful for folks, so I did not bring, you know, boxes of 1991 documents for you, because I'm not really sure that that's necessarily helpful as we move forward. But please don't hesitate to let us know what any of you may need during all of this. Thank you for the opportunity.
And to the committee again, this is part of the smush theory. We're throwing a lot against the wall in a couple in a day here, but I just got to do that. So this gives you time to mill over it a little bit and be fresh in your minds tomorrow. And then so that everybody knows, too, I had some conversations about this at the end of the year with other individuals, and after some discussions with the governor's office, we decided not to proceed at that time. So this has just come together very quickly, and it's not because it's the end of session. It's just everything kind of fell into place that we need to have the conversation. Plus, of all the committees I'd rather have it in front of right now is this committee, so it's easy to say that. Any other questions? Yes.
Thank you. I have spent a lot of time in the West and lived in Colorado for 25 years, and I'm just wondering how our rules and procedures are as compared to other states who also do a lot of mining. And I'm sure things have changed so much over the years, but If we haven't done that much for a number of years, I'm sure there's expertise too. But I also realize, given that our geological underpinnings of our state are going to be different than some other states too.
It's interesting. I've heard, in answer to that, I've heard two different answers. I have heard one that said ours is probably in the middle of the spectrum. If you looked at states with expertise with hard rock mining, some would say that would be able to give you some states that are more restrictive than ours and would be less restrictive than ours. I've also had folks answer me that they think that some states have changed to actually mirror technological advances, whereas we haven't. So I've actually heard two different answers to that particular question, because I asked the same as to where we were in regards to states who have more metal mining experience than we do.
There may be some expertise, so you can ask that question later this afternoon, later in today's session. Any other questions for the commissioner? Commissioner, thank you for taking your time.
Thank you. And I have one question and one request of this committee, among all the others that I outlined, is that because this has come together very quickly, I hope that you will provide us with some time for us to be able to draft some language, because we have only seen that language since last night. So I don't think we will be ready to provide you with a proposed amendment language by tomorrow at the hearing.
What?
So, yeah. I'm slowing down in my old age. I readily admit it.
No, I would anticipate schedule-wise is that we will be taking this back up sometime next week. It may be Monday. Who knows? Because of just the way the presiding officers really do want to move things along, although I feel comfortable that if I ask for more time, I'll get it. But just to keep that in the back
Thank
of
you.
Mind.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you all.
Representative Shane has a question.
Yes, I would assume if we look at the Pierce Atwood proposal tomorrow and dissect that, that'll give the department guidance on how to craft the language.
Well, we have, as you delineated, we have some of our own ideas, but yes, it would.
Are they equally good?
I think in some cases better. But in any event, yes, if there are particular areas that you do have guidance for us, that would be helpful so that we're not just spinning our wheels. That would be helpful.
Good.
Thank you
Thank
all
you
very
for the
much.
Team effort. Appreciate that very much.